Now, before I start, let me say this. This whole series is not intended for any particular individual. I'm saying this because certainly what's happened in a lot of conversations lately, and whenever I say that, people are even afraid of me saying that, but let me try and explain this as much as I can from here. That when I share something, or when I teach on something from the Bible, I'm not thinking of a particular person in the fellowship. In other words, I'm not thinking, listen, you're Johnny, I actually want to say this to you, but we've just invited the rest of the crowd so that you feel more comfortable, and so I'm going to use this opportunity to speak to Johnny directly. That's not the intention here. Sometimes I share something and maybe it is an exact fit to you. And maybe you even shared something like that with me a couple of months ago. It does not mean I'm talking about you. It doesn't mean I'm referring to you. Sin is more common and struggle is more common than what we know. And sometimes you think, but you're speaking to me and you're picking me out. And why don't you just tell me to my face? Often because I didn't even know that you struggled with that. I'm not trying to pick on you, and I'm not trying to point out anything in anyone particular. I'm trying to teach from the Scriptures some things that I believe can be relevant to certainly my own life, and I believe to many of us. So I just want to clear that up, because I do think that certain things are going to be said over the next couple of weeks that you might feel like, but I had that conversation with you, and so before you do that, I'm saying to you, no, that is not the case. This is not of a particular person. This is something that I think will be helpful to us all. Amen. Got that out of the way. The principle of the path. How many of us have ever gotten lost, either driving, hiking, or sightseeing? Well, you've gotten lost. You drove somewhere, got lost. Hike, got lost. Okay, about 80% of us. The others are still figuring where they're going. Now, a couple of years ago, my brother-in-law and I, we went mountain biking up to Kai Forest. You can go up to the forest and go right up to the top. There's a huge hill. Super experience, tiring on the way up. And then obviously on the way down, you can go down a single track or single tracks, which is super cool. If you stick to the right track, that would lead you back to where you started. We did not arrive back where we started. We got lost for several hours. I'm not exactly sure even where we ended up. We're into Kai Forest. We eventually ended up at someone's home. I'm not sure if it was Newlands or Constantia or somewhere, but it took us several hours just to get back to the same point of where we actually started off with. But there were several things that I've been able to take from that experience. One is, you never intend to get lost. You never say, hey, let's go here and I'm going to intend to get lost. I want to lose my way as I go there. You never intend to do that. And number two is, you usually don't know at which point you got lost. So in other words, suddenly everything is just very unfamiliar. Or suddenly you just realize, I have actually no idea where I am. And you're not sort of able to backtrack and say, but this is where I was. If I can just work my way back. I don't actually, when we were in the forest, when you're in it, man, it's big. And you have no idea where you are. You know, I've got no idea how you got lost. So you cannot return to a point to sort of get back on track. And a third thing, which is very important, is that it's the path that you take and not the place where you intend to go which will end up as your final destination. It is the path that you take and not the place that you intend to go that will end up as your final destination. I intended to go to the gate in the front of Tukai Forest. But I did not take the path that led to the gate of Tukai Forest. And so I did not arrive at the gate of Tukai Forest. Now that... that was Donnie that said that, and the rest of you that are laughing. Wait till the sermon is done. The principle of the path says that it's direction, not prayer, that determines my direction, destination. Because remember, I can sit in the car on my way to Houston, I can pray, God, I'm so excited about coming to Camps Bay. I'm going to serve the waves. It's going to be great. I'm going to walk on the beach and pray some more there. And you and I are really going to connect, God. It's going to be awesome. You're not going to end up in Camps Bay at all. But somehow we break the two. Here's my intention. Here's what I want to have. I want to have a great marriage. Here's what I want to have. Here is the path that I choose. I've made that disconnect so often in my life, and I've seen through the years others make that disconnect in their life. Let me give you a recent example in my life. I'm 35 years old, turning 36 this week. About 3 weeks ago, I could eat whatever I want, whenever I wanted it, and whatever amounts or capacities that I wanted, and I never picked up a gram. Not 1 gram. I would sit with people and I would eat bowls and bowls and bowls of dessert. And I would just, I would just eat it. And people would literally hate me for it. Then 3 years ago, I don't know what happened, but something changed. And suddenly it didn't work that way anymore. That suddenly what I ate made a difference. Now the problem with that is that I've got a tremendous weakness for desserts. It is bad. Recently, I was up in Johannesburg for a conference, and just as I did one of the classes, and as I closed out the class, I had to hop back on a plane back home. And as I closed out the class, I thought, let me just quickly stop at one of these Shaw Ultra cities or whatever. Let me just quickly buy, I love peppermint, and I love ice cream. Let me just quickly buy peppermint Magnum. Oh, and I ate that Magnum in the car while I drove, and I loved the Magnum. It was awesome. I love ice cream. I love peppermint ice cream. And so by the time I got to the airport, the Magnum was obviously done, and I thought, man, that was such a nice Magnum. Let me see if I can find a Magnum at the airport. And so at the airport, I looked around and looked around, and finally I found another peppermint Magnum. And I wanted to have it right that I could first get through, put my bags through that machine and everything so that I could properly hold my Magnum and eat it. And so I ate my Magnum. Then I was in a BA flight back home, and guess what they served after dinner? A Magnum. And so obviously what did I do? I ate that Magnum. So 3 Magnums in a row, just like that. I love Magnums. I love ice cream. I love chocolate. You can ask the staff. We've been at a meeting recently and sweets. And then I would have a pack of sweets and they'll say, oh, Vanna has it. And then suddenly I eat the sweets and just see papers. And I say, what happened to the sweets? What happened to the chocolates? I love it. Now, my intention is I want to be a lean, mean, fighting machine. That's my intention. My direction is towards the freezer, where the Magnums or the ice cream is stored. So intention, lean, mean, fighting machine. Direction, ice cream, chocolates, sweets, desserts. Very, very nice. Disappointment in the mirror. Wonder, flabbergasted. How did this happen? It is so easy for us to make bad choices like that, take the wrong path, and when we end up where that path inevitably would lead us, we look to God and we say, why, God? Why did you do this to me? I make bad financial decisions. I live above my means, way beyond my means. I live in a house that I shouldn't, a car that I shouldn't. I have things that I shouldn't. I am strapped for cash financially. I feel in distress and despair. And what do? I get angry with God and I say, why, Lord? Why? My guess is that God is looking at us and He's saying, why? Why are you asking? You took the path that led to that destination. It has got nothing to do with me. You made the choice. I know you never intended to, but you did. You chose that road. You chose that path, and that's where you arrived. Don't look at me. You're not in Camps Bay because of me. You went to Worcester. The principle of the path is like gravity. I cannot walk on the ledge of a building, fall off, break both my legs, my arms, and shout, "Why, Lord, why?" And he'll say, "Gravity? Bad decisions in my marriage. Why, Lord, why? Principle of the path?" We're going to take a look this morning at a scripture in Proverbs chapter 7 that illustrates this perfectly. Now, please turn to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, or Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is written by the wisest man in the Bible, Solomon. And in Proverbs chapter 7, he tells a story. Now, we're not sure if this story is a parable or whether it's a true story, but there's certainly a great amount that we can learn from it. Now, in this story, he is standing up in a window. And while he's standing up in the window, he is looking down at a young man going down a particular path. And what he realizes is that he knows the outcome of this man's journey, but the man doesn't. Ever been in a situation like that? Where you can see that two cars are about to collide, but they can't see each other. You can, and it just happens. And there for a moment, you are actually able to see into the future. I often see this with my kids when they don't focus and they go downstairs. You see it before it happens. You see, bam. And there they go and they roll down the stairs. They did not see it coming, but there for just a snapshot of a moment, you were able to see into their future and you could see what was going to happen. And here, as we read this, you'll see that Solomon had the ability to see into this man's future and in many ways see into our futures. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment." Now, let's stop there for a moment. He's looking out the window, look at young men. He says, "I could see a youth that lacks judgment." Now, let's be honest. That is a biblical truth right there. That youth lack judgment. Every morning as I take my daughter to school and I drive through the neighborhood, there is the same dude on a motorbike. A guy goes to the high school around the corner here. That he always overtakes me. I don't know how we time it that we end up like that. He overtakes me on a road where there are kids, there are dogs, whatever. He overtakes me and he just runs right over the stop sign. Sometimes I felt like giving him a little bump and just helping him. In that way. Sometimes I've thought of, should I pull over the guy and say to him, "But I know you think you're very cool, and I know that little motorbike of yours makes a very pretty noise, but you can kill yourself." But then I think back to myself when I was his age, and I had a motorbike, and I had my 50cc that could only do 100 k's an hour, but if you lie flat in the tank like that, it does 105. And I realized to myself, youths lack judgment. Is there something wrong with them? Or is it purely that when we are young, we do not have time and experience behind us? And so we make, when we're young, not that we don't do it when we're old, but when we're young, we make really stupid decisions because we don't have time on our side, we don't have experience. This is exactly what's happening here. Verse 8. Listen to this. "He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight. As the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in." Now, you don't have to be a biblical scholar or even to have read this story to know where this is going. This guy is walking down to her house, the sun is setting, and in the back of his mind, he hears a soundtrack playing. And he thinks to himself, "I'm born to be wild. This is going to be a night to be remembered for me forever. This is going to be a night that I'm going to tell my friends about. Everyone is going to know about this night, me and this wonderful woman that is coming my way. It is going to be tremendous." And as he's thinking that, we see on the other side, Solomon, up at the window. Solomon is hearing a different kind of tune playing. Solomon has seen this being done before. Solomon knows that this man is not just walking down a simple path. Solomon has seen many other men walk down this path, and he knows where it's going. He knows where it's leading because he understands the principle of the path. The thing about the young man is he doesn't understand it. And he's gone. There is a big difference between thinking where you are going and knowing where it's ending up. This kid was thinking this night would just be an event. It is just one night. But Solomon knows it is not one night. It is not just an event. It is a path. It is not only a path. It is a path with a predictable destination. Take a look in verse 10. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the square, at every corner she looks. She took a hold of him and kissed him. With a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I have fulfilled my vows. What is she saying to him? I've been to the temple. I've made my sacrifices. I've squared off everything with God. I have emptied out my whole bucket of sin, and I am ready to fill it up with you. Right here. Right now. Verse 15. So I came out to meet you. Not anybody. You. I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. This guy is singing to himself, man, I came out here hoping that we would maybe bump into each other. But I see that's not the case. I see that you also came to meet me. I'm so special. I'm so unique. I am one of a kind. This is the kind of stuff that you only see on TV. This is the kind of stuff that's unbelievable that I would only be telling my friends about. Verse 16. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deep of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. And this young man is thinking, man, I'm dreaming. This is any young man's dream. A beautiful woman. A night alone. Everything is going my way. This is absolutely perfect. Verse 19. My husband is not at home. Now my guess is he was assuming that. He has gone on a long journey. Meaning there's no hurry here. No rush. You can only be out in the morning. Oh, wait a minute. He took his purse filled with money and will not come home till full moon. Meaning he's going to not be back for a couple of nights. You can stay over in the morning. You can stay over a couple of nights. You can actually move in for a while. Verse 21. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her small, smooth talk. He's thinking, I'm a celebrity. I'm on the red carpet. All eyes are upon me. My dream has come true. This is what I've hoped for, what I've desired for. This is what all my friends want. This is so special. And this is going to be happening to me right here, right now. This is happening tonight. This is awesome. Verse 22. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. He's thinking, born to be wild. Solomon, the older, wiser gentleman, looks from the window. He's thinking Jaws music. Says, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. That's graphic. Have you ever seen a deer caught in a trap as he sees the hunter come closer and closer? He says, boy, that's where you're going. Verse 23. Like that wasn't enough. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. And this young man is saying, hey, wait a minute, you up there in the window. You're like my mom. You're raining on my parade. You've got it all wrong. This is just a date. Solomon is saying, no, it is a path. He's saying, listen, it is just a once-off event. Solomon is saying, no, it is a path. God is saying, listen, you're so focused on what you're doing right now, you're not focused on where you're heading. You're focused on the immediate, the right now, the right here. You do not think of tomorrow. You're thinking it's this event, it's this moment, it is this one purchase, it is this one action, it is this one word. There is no tomorrow. God is saying, no, there is a tomorrow. There is consequences. There is a path to very contrasting perspectives on the very same event. In verse 24, he pulls out of the narrative and speaks to you and I. And he says, now then, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to what I say. In other words, something important is coming our way. Verse 25. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray in her paths. What do you mean, her paths? I've told you 100 times, this is not a path. It is an event. It is one night. It's just one event. Verse 26. Many are the victims that she has brought down. He says, listen, dude, let me tell it to you straight. This is not a unique situation. I know where you're going. Many have gone down this path. And the boy's thinking, it's unique. I'm one of a kind. This is special. This is love. This is what everyone wants. No one gets this opportunity. I'm getting this right now. Solomon is saying, no, you fool. It is a common path. And not only is it a common path, it has a predictable outcome. And you're deceived if you think that you are unique. Many are those that she has brought down. He says, verse 26, many are the victims that she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. You're part of a crowd. Lots of people have gone down this way. Not necessarily with her, but lots of people have been in this scenario. Think about this. This was written 3,000 years ago. Is it any different today? He says, many people have gone down this. It's predictable. It is so predictable that I can say with confidence, you are like an ox to the slaughter. An ox to the slaughter, my friend. You're like a deer trapped. You're a bird heading for a snare. Your history. And we might say, but how can you say that? You're so judgmental. How can you even tell me that? I don't even like the look in your eyes. It's not judgmental. It's just a path. It is just a predictable path. If I pack my umbrella, I pack my surfboard, I pack my sunscreen, and I get on the N1 and I head towards Worcester, guess where I'm going to arrive? Worcester. I'm going to arrive in Camps Bay. And if I come and if I'm with you in the car and I say, you know what? I think we're going to Worcester. And you say to me, I think you're judgmental. But I don't understand. We're taking the road to Worcester. No, we're going to Camps Bay. We're going to Worcester. No, we're going to Camps Bay. It's Worcester. No, it's Camps Bay. You're judgmental. I feel judged. You're judging me. Verse 27, he says, her house, listen to this, her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. He says, man, the path that you're taking, my friend, this is like a 4-lane highway. Many people, there are crowds on this road. Many, many people are heading this way, and it is leading to death. Now, my guess is as we read this, maybe today for the first time, maybe you've read it before, but just as you start reading it and you see the sun is going down and you realize where he's heading, you know it. You know this is not going to turn out well. You just know it. The question is obviously, why is it that we can so clearly see it in the lives of others, but we cannot see it in our own life? And my guess is that somehow or another we think, I don't know how we do that, but we think that somehow our intentions, our hopes, our dreams, our desires somehow will trump the principle of the path. That somehow what I hope for, somehow what I desire, somehow what I have in mind of what I'm dreaming for will somehow break and change the direction that I'm taking miraculously and take me actually where I want to go. And we've heard the stories. We have said the stories. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever said or heard someone say this? It was late at night, and my secretary and I were alone at the office. Where's that going? Or, I've taken a huge amount of cash out of my bond. Where is it going? I stopped reading my Bible a couple of months ago, and where is it going? I had one too many drinks, and then I was sitting there by night. Everyone was asleep. It was late at night. I switched on the TV, started flipping through the channels, and what happened? When it comes to others, we are able to see and we look at that and we think, man, how did you end up there? It is so predictable. It is so predictable. But somehow when we're in it, disconnect. Have you ever found yourself saying one of these following things or heard it? I'll even read it to you. Listen to this one. Now again, I'm not saying this is any of us. Maybe it's one of you, maybe not. I think it's all of us, really. Listen to this. I want to end up with a great Christian guy who's really got his act together. So I'm going to go out with whoever asks me on a date as long as he's cute. And that's really going to work out for me. Really, it is. Because I've got good intentions. I really want to date this great Christian guy that loves God. And so I'll go on a date with anyone who asks me that's cute. I want our family to be a close, loving unit. I want to have great relationships with my children into their adult years. And so I'm going to sit in front of the TV all night because I need some time to relax. But I want to have great kids. I want to have a great relationship with them. It's going to be kumbaya, my Lord, around the Christmas table years to come. The grandkids are going to be there. Everything's going to be awesome. And that's what's going to be happening. Because it's going to be happening, I'm going to come at home because I'm obviously so tired and had such a long day. I'm just going to plop in front of the TV, put up my feet, and just get some time to relax. They'll figure themselves out. And you know what? Everything is just going to be okay. No. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. I want to be a great godly husband or a great godly wife who makes godly decisions about everything. And so I'm going to run out of the house in the morning before I read my Bible, before I spend time with God. It's just going to happen. It's what I want. It's what I desire. And it's going to happen because I desire. So now again, direction, not intention, determines our destination. You can't say, I want to lose weight. I want to be thin. So supersize that. I want to know God. So I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to read my newspaper. I want to be financially secure. And so I'm going to spend my whole life living with consumers debt because that is what I want. That is what I need. That is what I desire. I cannot be without it, but I'm going to be happy one day. I'm going to be financially secure. I'm going to leave some things for my children. Everything's going to be okay when I retire. Great intention, but the path will not get you there. This morning, what I want to ask us to think about is if you think of your life and you think of your spiritual path that you're currently walking, or you think of the marriage path that you're currently taking, the dating path, the moral path, the work path, the financial path that you're currently on. Not that you hope to be on, the current path that you are on. is it going to take you to where you want to be or not? See, the thing about the principle of the path is it can work either against you or it can work for you. Through the years, I have seen people make great decisions on a daily basis. I have seen people saying, listen, before I run out of the door, I'm going to spend time with God. I have seen people that when they come home at night, they are dog tired, but they still play with their kids. They still interact. They still involve, although everything in them says, I want to sit in front of the TV. It is tough. I actually need some rest, but they still do it. I've seen people through the years that says, I really want that house, but I cannot afford it. I really would like that car, but I cannot afford it unless I make too much debt. I would really like to buy that clothes. I would really want to go on that holiday, but I can't. And so they don't. And you know what? After years, it pays off. Now, years later, they are having those relationships with their adult kids. Now, years later, they are able to make those godly decisions. Now, years later, they are able to respond to calamity, because calamity comes to all. Sometimes because of the path that you choose, and sometimes because of the path that someone else has chosen for you or on your behalf. But when I've made those daily decisions to connect with God and be close to God, He enables me to weather those storms and to get out on the other side. But it only works if I understand and live the principle that direction, not intention, determines my destination. Here's what I want to ask you to do. All of us today, prayerfully, got a little keyring. Did everyone get one? A little keyring that says principle of the path. Here's what I want to ask you. Just for the month of August, whether you like keyrings or not, whether you like that keyring or not, put it on your keyring. Just for this month. And then every morning as you wake up, take a look at that keyring. And remember the principle of the path. Every time that you want to run out of the house before spending time with God, take a look at that keyring. Every decision that you make, we always have our keys with us. Just take a look at the keyring and say to yourself, direction, not intention, determines my destination. And as you take the right path, it will lead you to where you want to go. God bless.